Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and all others out there who may be listening, we appreciate you and hope that this year for you is, all of us, in fact, is survivable, is relatively, I don't want to say normal. What the hell's normal? Normal is gone. And I do feel rather a degree of compassion for younger people under 40, under 35, who never experienced the things that many of us did get to experience and have no idea, no idea about what they will never understand that happened to this country and what was lost because they didn't experience it. You can read about it, but that's not the same. Anyhow, all right. It's the Jeff and Erica Hour, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, where we do our best to try to keep you up to date on the aspects and horrors of this worldwide genocide perpetrated by the Department of Defense, among other issues that are involved with the creation of this biological weapon from Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, etc. Erica, my partner and friend, are you there?
I am here. I hear it's pretty windy out there.
Yeah, I lost some big trees, and it may continue. I don't know.
Oh, there's quite a storm bearing down on you.
Yeah, a big one. We're going to talk next hour. George Filer will be here, and it does appear that the Communist Chinese have at least 5 harp installations. Call it a big instrument. And they may have opened the gateway to normal Pacific storms, and they're actually encouraging them. They can do that. So it may be weather wars being played out in the jet stream above our heads. I don't know. We had 5 inches of rain in one storm last week, and that's a lot for here. You know, usually we get about 18 a year total. So we have almost 1/4 of our annual. Anyway. Okay. You want to repeat what you just told me a couple minutes ago, that story that you're sending, or...
I just sent it. This was an expose. FOIA reveals DNA from AstraZeneca's COVID injection is found in organs throughout the body, and safety for pregnant women and the immune compromised was unknown. So, you know, that's almost as bad as the lipid nanoparticles. Of course, the AstraZeneca and the J&J used an adenovirus to deliver their genetic material to reprogram the cells to produce spike protein. And, again, that was another thing that was supposed to stay at the injection site.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now they have found that it ended up in, well, pretty much all the organs that the lipid nanoparticles would have ended up with. Let's see, they said sciatic nerves, bone marrow, liver, lung, and spleens. This was in mice. I guess they did a biodistribution study in mice with a vaccine, and then, you know, it was found in all of these organs, expressed spike protein.
Amazing. Well,
you know, the one thing that's interesting, they say that the cases of myocarditis in mm-hmm. people who have received the injection are limited to people who got a vaccine using the mRNA, the lipid nanoparticle delivery system, either Pfizer or Moderna. And I guess there are virtually no reports of that having happened in people who received the J&J or the AstraZeneca or the Sputnik. But I don't know. I mean, that's... I did read that somewhere last week, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. But see, the adenovirus uses a receptor to gain entry into a cell. It needs a particular receptor. Mm-hmm. And maybe there were fewer of those receptors on the heart. I'm not sure. But the lipid nanoparticle, that's a dirty bomb. That can infect any cell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And seems to have a special affinity for the hearts in young men.
Well, and the reproductive
children.
Organs in young women.
I guess the first place it goes, it was mostly found in the liver. The liver processes fats.
I'm thinking just to the whole bioweapon shot platform. But yes, go ahead. You're talking about LNPs.
So, Yeah, it gets into the bloodstream, and the liver is responsible for processing fats. But then, you know, they go everywhere else. They went to the spleen, they went to the ovaries, the bone marrow, the heart, the kidneys, the brain, you know, pretty much everywhere. Wherever the blood went, the lipid nanoparticles went with it.
How was it that that lie about how everything in the injection would stay at the injection site ever got any traction?
How did any of this get any traction?
Absurd on its face. Ridiculous. Crazy. It's like they suspended all the physics of biophysiology were thrown out. I mean, it's just nuts. But people bought it.
I think they were also taking advantage of people's lack of understanding and knowledge of the potency of nanomaterials. The average person has no idea what nano even means. They throw the word around now because they've heard it often enough, but they really don't understand what it is and how potent it is.
They don't. And if you ask them to point where their kidneys are, most of them couldn't.
Right.
Thyroid. Even that. I don't know where it is. These Gen Z, the last call, end of the line.
Yeah, what they've done to the educational system is really, it's
yeah. Nah. It's just a complete catastrophe. All right, here are a couple more quickies. There's a story, very interesting. I just sent it to you. It's from Super Sally's Substack. VADS confirmed. Now, Erica has always referred to it correctly as airborne AIDS. The story is VADS confirmed up and down regulation of gene expression identified at autopsy in persons who died post bioweapon vax. So those who died after getting shot up, whatever length of time was involved, I guess it's rather irrelevant, have a very messed up immune system. So there's more proof there. That's why we continue to beseech you to please, when you go out, stay away from your vax opposites. And it works both ways. Wear a mask. If you have to be in a store for 15, 20 minutes, whatever, you can do that. If you have a job where you're working with the vaxxed all day, 5 days a week, you really would do well to consider trying to get a different job, maybe ask for a work-at-home dispensation from the boss, whatever. This shedding was designed to clean up the unvaxxed problem, and it's apparently doing that. We do see evidence now that people come away being passively vaccinated by simply being around and exposed to people who are shedding.
Yeah, and at the very least, you know, they're getting a pretty good dose of spike.
Every
and I would
day.
Not go off of whether or not you have symptoms. I mean, we've heard this repeatedly, that people who are around the vax think that they're fine, and for whatever reason they have their blood analyzed, and I don't just mean a blood chemistry test, I mean actually looked at under a microscope.
Right.
And in some cases, it's as bad as the vaxed. They have the rouleau formation, where the red blood cells are all stacked. They look like a roll of coins. And there are unidentified things in there. People are saying it's graphene. No, more likely it's amyloid. Amyloid strands, fibrils forming. It's sick blood. And many of these people have insisted that they feel fine, and their blood says another story.
All right, here's another one. This football player, Damar Hamlin, who collapsed on the field. Everybody knows the story now. Damar will go down in history for this. He may not have had a particularly great career. Who knows? It's been cut short. He'll never play again. But he is on life support now. He can't breathe on his own. He's intubated. And I think there is and I've said this on one earlier program in another hour, that he may, in fact, be essentially dead. And they're keeping him alive until they can get their story straight, because there's so much money involved in pro football, and never mind 600 soccer players in Europe falling over on the pitch and dying, either there or in the hospital a very short time later. 600. We have been very fortunate here that this is the first time someone has apparently, possibly, fallen over on the football field post-vax. We don't know for sure, because no one said, yes, he's vaxxed. I think it's going to end up being his family, who may get a compensation from the league to say that we don't want to talk about this, please respect our privacy, whatever. But I think there's a 50-50 chance that this young man's life is already over. His heart stopped three times. Once when he fell over, once after he was revived the first time, and then again after he was revived the second time. At least that's how I read the story. So not good. And suggestive of, again, simple issue that there are autonomic nerves which are electrical in their general character and operation. And if you get brainstem damage from plaques or clots or whatever, you can shut those particular neurons and neuron pathways down that tell the heart to beat or the lungs to breathe. Could be a lot of things.
I think we're seeing some speculation now. I don't know if it's been confirmed, though, that the myocarditis is actually a form of amyloidosis of the heart. So if you've got plaques...
Oh, really? That I hadn't
heard.
That's a new one. That's awful.
You know, that's going to interfere with electrical conductance also.
Yes, that's really bad news. Think about it. All those people who have myo anyhow were given, generally speaking, a five-year fuse in which to live their lives to the best of their ability? Wasn't that it? Myocarditis,
yeah,
you got about 5 years?
Yeah, if they made it to 5 years and they were still alive, then they'd be a candidate
for a transplant.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That would suggest very quick amyloid plaque formation. Doing that kind of damage.
Well, if it's occurring in the blood... systemic, it'll be deposited in a variety of tissues, or it could be forming in the heart itself, or both.
Amyloidosis
in general, what they call AA, serum A amyloid, is an acute phase reactant. It means when your body's inflamed, this protein in the blood rises. And the spike protein is so inflammatory, and if your body is producing it all the time, it's almost a given that this amyloid would be present in high amounts anyway, and then there's so much of it now, it's forming fibrils. And because it's in the blood, it will go systemic. But again, this same process can happen with proteins in certain organs. You know, every organ has its own proteins that need to be produced and folded in the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the spike interferes with that process.
Here's another one, and we're going to get to our special guest tonight, Justin, who is a professional tow truck operator in Canada and has been watching out for vaccidents like many of you have. We'll be on with us again here for a little update here. Why, reports Mikey the Health Ranger, is the federal government moving in on Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin's sudden cardiac event? And let me just read this first little paragraph here. This is an interesting angle, and I think the answer is rather obvious. After being hauled off to a local hospital in Cincinnati following his sudden collapse on the field and mid-game, Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin is now under surveillance by the federal government for some unknown reason. Now, let's fill in the blanks. Why would the feds step in and be monitoring this young man, however it's being done? And I can't prove that it's happening, but it's being reported by Natural News. Why would they do that? Because they don't want damage done to the booster program that they're pushing so hard on now. They don't want any injection bad news. So they're going to try and choke off any information that might be uncomfortable and damaging to the program. That's the first guess. Not to mention the fact that the government owns the damn bioweapon. It's Department of Defense material. They came up with it and then licensed Pfizer and Moderna to create it. So that's another aspect of this. The feds are involved. They're watching this kid. And I honestly, I don't want this to be by any stretch, but it could well be that he is not revivable and they are just keeping him going until they can get their story straight. And they're already floating several cardiologists on the internet now explaining what happened and why his heart did this or that, and none of them are mentioning the vax.
Of course not.
So we live in a 1984 environment that is so controlled and so ruthless in how it's done. It's not funny. All right. For all of you out there who have had near misses in your car, and especially our unvaccinated listeners, and vaccinated for that matter, but especially the unvaccinated, there are lots of accidents now. I don't know what the average will play out to be percentage-wise compared to last year and the year before, etc. But I think the death rate in auto and vehicular accidents was up 17% last year, if I remember correctly. I may be wrong. But let's talk to a professional in the field who's been on the program once before, Justin up in Canada. Are you there, Justin?
Yeah, hi, Jeff.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I hope you had a good Christmas and a holiday.
Yeah, and say hello to the pretty lady here.
Well, dude, how are you doing, Erica?
I'm good. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Hi. I'm well, thank you.
All right. So what's our status up there? What kind of stats do you have for us? What have you seen? What are you hearing? I almost got smacked twice in the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Really?
Crazy stuff. I mean, people
it's
just
been
not.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention anymore. Just a little bit of stat. We had 350 dead just from the OPP reports in 2022, which isn't that much, sad to say, but I wish it was zero, but that's just for our province. It's just been, I'm doing a lot of insurance tows now, getting away from just basic towing. The insurance companies, they had so many wrecks over the, Christmas and New Year's, because we got a big dump of snow during Christmas. Some of the highways were shut down, excuse me, and they actually ran out of insurance adjusters for some of the tow yards that I pick up from. That's how many accidents there.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did some wrecks out on the highway just in town here. I was doing service calls on Christmas Eve. It was just craziness.
Is there a profile for a vaccident? Are these rear-enders, or are they just, are you seeing a trend in any particular profile of a vehicular accident that you might not have seen before?
It's kind of like a domino effect on the highway. As soon as you get slick conditions, you get a lot of the tractor trailers slamming on their brakes. They can't stop fast enough. You have people that just run into the ditch to avoid them, which I haven't seen before. And then a lot of people outside of their vehicles, which is really dangerous when these domino effect collisions occur.
And they're getting
the safest thing to do is stay in your
They're getting hurt.
They're getting hurt. They're getting ran over. Just really poor decision making on behalf of the public nowadays. So I just can't really wrap my head around it.
That's interesting. Poor decision making. Are you hearing anything about vaccidents from other professionals in your field of work? I mean, even insurance adjusters, which you may or may not come into contact with, but I would suspect you do to a degree. Tell me what you're hearing. Tell us about it.
I do talk to some insurance adjusters. A lot of them are really young and inexperienced. That's kind of the issue. I can't really get much info from them, but some of the older guys that do it, they've said that they've never seen like a scale of accidents that happen just in the beginning months of winter when road conditions get slick and, you know, people have to be a little more cautious on the roads, and they're not being more cautious. They're actually more aggressive, I find, this year. Last year wasn't too bad, but this year it's the aggression. Everybody's in a hurry to get somewhere. It's, you know, tailgating. It's just nuts. It's nothing like I've seen before. I've been doing
tailgating in bad weather, tailgating in wet weather and whatever, snow, frosty
I see it
weather.
All the time. It's just.
So there are a lot of rear enders. All right.
Tons.
Well, that makes. Yeah.
And a lot of these vehicles I pick up, the different tow yards pick up the accident. They hook the accident. And then I pick it up through the auction company, through the insurance, and it gets auctioned off. But a lot of these cars, the missing wheels, the engine smashed in. It's on blood, everything.
So these are what you're saying, I think, is that these are exceptionally violent accidents in many cases, maybe more so than is usual.
More than usual, yeah. They're really violent. It's some of them, I've seen a car crunched right in half, and they've said the guy walked away from it. It's pretty incredible.
And that is.
You wouldn't think about it looking at it, but it's, just. And then on those billboards on the highway, they've kind of relaxed the take your booster thing and all that. They don't do it anymore, so maybe it's.
Really? So the billboards are not up pushing. Interesting. Didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Now they say don't tailgate, don't speed, you know, stuff like that. But last summer it was all pushing the narrative to get your booster shot, get this and that. Things have
now
changed.
Now they've switched over to vaccinated danger, that sounds like, anyway. The question, when you said people are driving aggressively, we get this all the time, personality changes. I mean, this wouldn't be a surprise to either one of us, and I don't think most of our listeners, that this aggression, what else are you hearing, Erica? Is it aggression, anger, people becoming physically violent, throwing things? How bad is it getting?
I haven't heard that as much as, just crotchety, just, you know, people are tired. They probably don't feel well.
Cranky.
Cranky. And I think, you know, as the truth is coming out, they're less sure about the decisions that they made over the past year, 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They were such firm believers, and they thought they were doing the right thing, and now they're realizing, uh-oh.
I can't even imagine trying to deal with that kind of emotional confusion and then anger. Anger at myself, anger at my government, anger at the medical profession, anger at all of it. This has been one giant setup. Go ahead.
They're probably expending a lot of energy resisting the truth, you know, pushing back on it, trying to hang on to their belief system and hope they're right, but realizing they're probably not, and sooner or later they're going to have to, you know, deal with the consequences of their decision. That would make a person in a bad mood, you know?
And all of their family, friends, and loved ones as well. Co-workers.
Yeah.
I mean, what their decision will likely end up doing is creating a ripple effect through, again, family, friends, workers, whatever. If that person becomes disabled or dies, that leaves a big hole that doesn't get filled up.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't. What else, Justin, are you hearing? The idea of aggression, yes, haste, people trying to get somewhere in a rush, confusion, thinking about this very subject, which I know a lot of people are. You take your mind off the road for a split second, and, you know, it's too late in some cases.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, too. They'll pull out right in front of you when you're going 100 kilometers an hour, 75 miles an hour. They don't know how to merge anymore. Nobody really knows how to merge into a lane. They hit their brakes, and then they wait. As before, you usually accelerate to keep up with the merge of traffic.
They come out of an on-ramp, and they hit their brakes and wait to merge, and then they try to accelerate?
Yeah, they do all the time now. I've never seen it in the past, but it's almost like they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to merge. They'll pull right out in front of you, slam on their brakes, and then they go on the shoulder.
Wow.
A lot of the time, they do it to me. I have 5,000 pounds behind my tow truck. You can't really slam on the brakes real fast. I've had to actually swerve around them. They just don't consider a tow vehicle, or if someone's towing a trailer, they don't give you that extra, 5 seconds to be prepared to stop. The stuff I've seen lately is just crazy.
Well, that's almost, it's almost like a drunk driver. I mean, they have some of their senses, but their reaction time and their judgment is just not what it should be. I mean, they are kind of a menace.
If all things were equal, people pulled over and given a sobriety test would also be asked, how many shots have you had? They would.
Yeah.
If all things were equal.
Yeah, that should be mandatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vaxxed drivers are simply not as safe as unvaxxed drivers, according to everything I've seen.
Well, they're not alert anymore. I noticed even 5 years ago it was night and day compared to now. And it's sad, really. It's, I've just been so busy with the auction cars. I don't know if they have one in your state. It's called Impact Auctions.
Don't know. No, they do have auctions here.
It's for wrecked cars?
Yeah, wrecked vehicle auctions.
Yeah, they're all over the United States and Canada. It's a huge outfit. Yeah. But, I think I have 18 tomorrow to do between the two of us.
18 different car tows? Move cars?
Yeah,
that's a lot.
And that's between, I think it's 23 different tow companies, so we got 18. I don't know how many they have. That's just in one day. Well, that's over the last weekend. And the adjusters go out, and then they release the vehicles, and we tow them into the auction. So that's how many. And we're in London, and we have 410,000 people here, and we're about 60, 70 wrecks on a weekend.
Wow.
So you, 23 tow companies, and yours alone has 18 tows tomorrow.
Yep.
That's a lot. 23 times 18. Do the math. Yeah. Auctions. So you take cars to auctions, and there's still blood in them and all that. They don't clean them up. They just tow them in.
Yeah, they just tow them in. They write on the window bio. Or blood, so I don't even
I
go
would
in
hope. No, I would.
Who knows? It's Vax blood. Even you can be exposed to that. That's scary.
It's absolutely the truth.
I just lift them up and I tow them in and I drop them there and that's it. I don't mess around inside. It's not worth it. It's just scary. Yeah.
No, got it. All right. Well, Justin, thank you for that update. It is helpful as a reminder from a professional that when you're on that road and just 2 or 3 seconds and you've traveled a lot of distance and coming on to a freeway, a highway from a merge lane, an on-ramp, and not speeding up, slowing down, hitting your brakes? No, this is not good. Not good at all. Well, thank you, Justin.
Just hope everybody has a safer year out there on the roads.
For sure.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on again, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Okay. You be well. All righty.
Okay. Good night, Justin. Thank you.
Okay. So for all of you drivers out there, be prepared. Merging traffic in what it used to be. You see people coming down the on-ramp and expecting them to merge. Apparently, a lot of people are getting balky and they're not merging. They're slowing down. So it's you've got to be on your toes at every... If I hadn't been, I would have gotten smacked. And the other one was almost bizarre. It was like supernatural, paranormal. The car just turned. It was like it did a right-angle turn at 35 miles an hour, and you can't do that. But it did, and it didn't hit me. Otherwise, it would have been bad. Okay. I guess that's pretty much it for our auto update for you. Now, in our last program, we did spend time with changes, and we still have six to go. You want to finish those first? What would you like to do?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I think XXXX is the next one. Four X's. What do you say?
That was January 2nd, right? Or was it the 30th?
No, December 30th. And it would be changes.
Yep. Okay.
And two X's, three X's, four X's. Let's see if I can remember the third X. Let's take it with the third one. Go ahead and start with the third, three X's, and then we'll go from there. That's best.
Oh, well, this is apropos. The scariest thing is having all these vaxies behind the wheel that could keel over and die at any second, crashing into you or your family, where you wind up in a hospital getting poisoned with graphene oxide-tainted hospital products, injected with Convid mystery goo without your consent while unconscious, or poisoned with contaminated vaxy blood. Statistically, getting into our cars and driving every day is about the most dangerous thing most of us do.
That's an important little post. It mentioned several things. And if you go into a hospital and you sign over permission for them to do whatever measures they think or to employ whatever measures they think are necessary to keep you alive or in whatever verbiage they use in the best possible health, they can give you the vax. This nurse comes right in, puts it right in your IV and the input there, and you're done. Done. So, and who's going to advocate for you? I urge people to stay away from the big white buildings. Don't go there.
They're not trustworthy these days.
No.
You know, you're probably okay. I'm speculating, but you're probably okay with some of these smaller community hospitals, if there's any left, than going to one of the big ones.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Your chances of getting serious attention.
For the most part, they're not as busy. Well, I suppose it depends on where you are, though. You're apt to get more personalized care.
I would think one-on-one, yeah. Yep. Okay, the next one. Go ahead and do the next one as well. It's a Sherry Tenpenny thing.
I heard Sherry Tenpenny talk about a 7-year span of deaths. So it won't happen all at once, if she's right. Honestly, when it gets to be too much, I think of Jesus' admonition that each day has trouble enough and not to worry about tomorrow. And are we certain God won't intervene? Continuing in that thread. I've noticed everyone jabbed is getting very cranky and moody. And my daughter, also jabbed, has been having tummy issues as well as severe pericarditis.
Oh, that's There will come a time when that becomes so common that you won't, I may not even react, but that is so sad to hear. I just don't even like hearing it at all.
Mm.
Okay. Next one. I know so many that took it and so many that did not. Even that we had a very low uptake, so many in my life are jabbed, and not one of them is not showing some effect, with the majority showing brain issues. And a response to that, so many jabbed, I know, are having strange things happening with their blood and other body elimination processes. So it runs everywhere. It's not, there's just too much. The next one. And the jabbed are in denial and lying. It's another very important sentence. Lying. A lot of people are lying about their vax status. It's human nature. This society we live in already is a lying society. Like the jabber that already had multiple strokes. No doctor, no hospital, just goes on. Technically, he is disabled and may not drive. You can see how they are struggling, hiding the symptoms, not sure in other countries, but here in South Africa, it looks like retardation is a major effect, and almost every jabber I know is showing it. Almost every jabber I know is showing mental issues, as in retardation. And there's an add to that. So you will smell when your body is getting rid of poisons. My unjabbed ex is seeing a jabbed woman. She is not detoxing, and she stinks like the jabbed. Her body is also trying to get rid of the poisons he is giving her, but her body is also taking damage. Detox is just a faster way. So here we go to the smell and the noxious odors again, which almost seem to be coming to be becoming more prominent. I don't know. All right, go ahead.
Well, and there's some people have reported that those who hang around the vaxxed, the unvaxxed who are hanging around the vaxxed, also end up smelling like the vaxxed in some cases. Not necessarily the putrescence, but the fabric softener smells.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to that I believe is the damage that the spike protein is doing. Even though these people are not vaxxed, they're still getting spike protein in them, and that spike protein is causing oxidation of the lipids in their cell membrane, which is generating these aldehydes that in some cases smell like flowers or citrus or sometimes metals, but they can have a wide range of different smells. But that's, I mean, aldehydes are a byproduct of lipid peroxidation, and they do a lot of damage. They are known to be carcinogenic, mutagenic. So I would say that, you know, in the case of people who are not vaxxed that are smelling that way, and they have been hanging around the vaxxed, they're probably getting a pretty good dose of spike that's doing a lot of oxidative damage.
That's what spike does. And that spike doesn't care how it gets into your body.
No, I mean, you can breathe it in,
kiss,
you can get it on your skin.
A breathing issue.
Yeah.
The spike doesn't care. Now, that's not to say the spike can replicate itself. We don't really know the ultimate truth about that question. But we do know that mRNA can also be spread at the same time the spike is being spread. So that's the bad one. If there is a bad one there, they're all horrific. You get an mRNA and that goes in, and how many do you get? A couple thousand maybe, who knows? And it goes into your body and invades a couple thousand cells, and those cells begin to make spike protein.
Well, and let's not forget with the J&J and the AstraZeneca and the Sputnik, those were adenoviral vectors that were supposed to be replication incompetent, meaning they just go in, make the cell produce a protein, and that's the end of it. But it's likely that they became replication competent and they were a viable infection that could be spread.
We have no proof of that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. If they, the creators of this, had the ability, think about it, to make the spike protein in and of itself a replicatable toxin. It's a toxin. They would do it. Why wouldn't they do it when their goal is to infect as many people as they can via the needle? Why wouldn't they make the spike protein replication competent? They would. It just makes sense.
Well, that would be the adenoviral vector.
Sorry. Thank you. The point is, if they can make it replicate, they will do it. I don't see why they wouldn't.
They're not concerned about it. Even this was shown to happen, though. In all of these studies that they did over the years with gene transfection, they knew this stuff shed. And it was always a concern,
no,
how do we handle this?
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of precautions do we take? And now there are no precautions.
No, there aren't. Huh. All right, here's another one. I also think the jabbers are super spreaders. With their immune systems not working, I remember the story we had earlier about VAIDS, airborne AIDS, with their immune systems not working, their liver and kidneys damaged, bacteria can run wild all through their bodies, and they will not show inflammation. So they appear healthy. Meantime, inside their bodies are affected with who knows what. Look at the monkeypox story. Mostly gay men. That was STDs. Their bodies could not fight it. And also, no inflammation was showing. That is also part of the smells, bacterial infections. So bacteria can create molecular odors. They just do. Like my boss keeps on getting eye infections and also teeth and gum problems. I see on a lot of these people skin problems, sores on their skin, like bloody red marks, some kind of bacterial infection on their skin, perhaps. Their bodies are rotting. And when you are intimate with them, you are exposing yourself to all of that which is within them. This is not a joke. This is a deadly, serious catastrophe, which must be understood, and you need to make your own decisions on what you're going to follow by way of protocols and rules of social interaction. But you need the data to make those decisions. All right, go ahead.
Okay, last one in this thread. The jabbed must shed on each other, just like they shed on us. Look how many of the events where lots of jabbers were together, ending in sickness and death. Their bodies are weak and already overloaded with their own poisons, and they should try to avoid the unjabbed, not because of shedding to us, no, because we can make them sick. They have no defenses, so if we have a stomach bug, they are guaranteed to get it.
Yeah.
The jabbers actually have true AIDS.
We've said this so many times. We are as concerned about the jabbed, the vaxxed, as we are about the unvaxxed, because they're in real trouble. And once they get infected with something more easily than they otherwise would if they had a real immune system left, they also begin to throw off that infectious process. So they become even worse spreaders. Okay.
Let's see. What's societal collapse? That was the end of another thread.
Okay.
It's not much there. Let's go to crippled by shedding.
Okay.
Do you see number one?
I see number one. I do. Okay, number one. Well, I'm very sad today. I left my family's house before my vaxxed brother and his vaxxed girlfriend came to visit. And I'm avoiding going to my dad's house, where a lot of the family will be there visiting today. They are all vaxxed, and I'm not. And I hate this because everyone I know who has the whole blank the vax, blank the shedding, go live your life attitude mentality just don't understand the severity of things with the mRNA shedding and COVID. And they don't. Considering it's cold as hell outside, that would require everyone to be inside, where it's warm. And warm equals shedding. close contact, aerosol transmission. I am so crippled by all of this, and I truly don't feel that I can live like this for years to come, if this is how it's going to be for me. I'm incredibly good-looking, tall, very skilled in art, design, kind and passionate about life, yet I cannot find a good woman, especially one who's not vaxxed, as they all are. And I have no social life because of avoiding going out in public, social situations and events, etc. I don't know what the hell to do. Someone answers, give it to God and enjoy life. Stop worrying. Not the best advice. You must draw the barriers around your social behavior to minimize the risk.
Mm-hmm. All right, some more comments to that. I understand. I work with vaxxed people. I would be the same if I didn't have a partner who was unvaxxed. Don't give up. Depending where you live, there are millions unvaxxed. Many lied about being vaxxed. Transmission is real. Take it from me, who is frequently suffering with shedding symptoms for the last 2 years. Even though I'm a mostly unvaxxed family, I avoid all large social gatherings, settings, etc. I used to love concerts, shopping, attending arts and music festivals, even the movies. It's somewhat depressing to avoid people. Another one says, go inside. It's the only way out. Talk with your soul. She's the best to find a good woman. There is 38% or more of the population who is non-vaxxed. Blessings. I'm spending this time, 2 weeks, on my own. A retreat, I said to family. Another one says, I avoid large social gatherings myself. I no longer go to concerts or the movies. I can still shop, but I have to go in the store, get my stuff, pay for it, and get out fast. I try to avoid people as much as I can. Another one says, me too, but it's a heck of a way to live. I try to talk to vax people outside only.
Well, all right, the last part of this string. I get really tired of the fear message. Physical symptoms have nothing to do with fear. Ignoring physical symptoms and just going around with the vaxxed could get pretty interesting in a way I don't want to experience. I think I'll just look at those people telling me I can't live in fear as if they are not awake yet, because they aren't. Response to that, me too, but it's a heck of a way to live. That's the last sentence of the beginning of the thread. It can be hard to talk to vax people outside. Someone else adds, don't be so discouraged. There are unjabbed people everywhere. Diligently try finding some connections and pray about this. God will not abandon you. My son is in the same position. Also, I found a new product today, a parasite cleanse from nature that helps with shedding. We don't know that. My family will start it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't want to mention names because there are a lot of good anti-parasitics out there.
Okay.
Lessons to be learned here. People lie. Don't go into events. And we were talking yesterday, or I don't know, about last year there were a lot of big events. Headliners were all of these people, supposedly alt-news icons and things, talking about the truth about the vax. And these were big, widely attended events, you know, 1,000 people in a room, whatever. And we were saying on the air, we were cautioning people, don't go. Don't do it. And now it looks like the word is finally out. I wonder who was behind putting on a lot of those events and why they would want to bring the most animated and active people who were trying to alarm and alert about the dangers of the vax to these events if they weren't trying to... you can get paranoid about this stuff.
No, it's wise to think that way. It's a trap.
A lot of people got sick. There were deaths reported.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. not a joke. Okay. We got two here. Funeral business, what are they? You remember?
Yeah, we could get through that real fast.
Go ahead.
I lost my place. Here it is. Okay. With my brother's passing, I had to go fetch his death certificate from the funeral home. I asked if they were busy. They said no. But when they opened the drawer with the certificates, the drawer was stuffed full of other certificates. Lots of people here do cremations, so you do not see full burial so much anymore. Reply to that. You have my sympathy. People are doing cremations all the time now where I am. Funeral homes cannot do embalming anymore due to the blood clots plugging up the veins. They cannot keep pulling the clots out to try to get the fluid through. Waste of time. Even when people are buried, they can still transmit Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and 5G signals from the grave.
From the afterlife.
Radiation can be bad, too.
Hmm. All right. Last piece on this one. Radiation can be bad, too. We're going to talk about that next program. It's not radiation. And they are not doing autopsies here anymore. The doctor made the death call, and the place the coroner should have filled in is empty. So I do not know the real reason for his death. He was diagnosed on the 1st of August with myocarditis after battling with constant sinusitis and problem breathing. He was given a bag of medicine, including blood thinners. On about October 5th, he had some bleeding inside and was taken to the hospital and passed away there. Death reason? He bled to death. That's what they said. No, he bled to death. All right. No cause, nothing else. He bled to death. But I will never know the real reason. Yes, he was jabbed. So there we go. We thank all of you who pay attention and who try to spread some of this around. The programs are all available. You can just copy them over and send them to whoever you'd like. They're on the homepage. You know where they are. And so there. Anything else?
No, that's plenty.
Another quick hour.
Yeah, it goes by fast.
Action-packed.
Yeah.
We have a number of smell issues. The smells seem to be more pronounced now. I don't know why. It just maybe I'm just hearing more of it. And then we have some on VADES as well. Subliminal programming. There's another one, too. Good one.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. There's one where they think a baby died of shedding while on a flight, airplane.
Well, I don't. Wherever that is, we need to do that, too.
Yeah,
oh,
we'll do that on Friday.
I see. Baby dies from shedding. Okay, we will be back as a duo here on Friday to shed more light on this and try to illuminate the human aspects, the suffering. These are real people in real grief with real pain and real physiological disaster to deal with.
Mm.
And they have our full sympathy, and I'm sure most all of you would underscore that. Okay, thank you, Miss E.
Okay,
talk
Jeff.
Soon.
Thank you. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
All right, and we will be back with Hour 3 coming up next.